And it's always good what he has to share, but looking forward to that for the church. Amen. And it's going to be a good time. Matthew 25 in verse 1, "Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened unto 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, 'Behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him.' Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'No, lest there should not be enough for us and you. But go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves.' And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered and said, 'Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming.'" This setting in this parable is directed towards us today. "Watch therefore, for you neither know the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." And my subject that I want to speak on just for a few minutes is buy for yourselves. Buy for yourselves. I can't buy it for you. You can't buy it for your neighbor, but buy for yourselves. Father, I ask your blessings today. Lord, I pray that you would touch hearts and minds and let the intended purpose today be done. Father, for your glory alone, we pray in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for the blessing here, for your power, your spirit, Lord, that has moved across this place. So definitely, God, you've been in this house, and we thank you, God. We thank you, Lord. Amen. You may be seated. And someone could be asking themselves, could God care about my situation, really? And I'll tell you, definitely yes. Definitely yes. There were 10 and bridesmaids, 5 they called foolish and 5 it calls wise. But they were very similar. They were pursuing the same goal. They were going to marry the bridegroom. And or you may call this the uniting of the church to its bride. The joining of the church. And there are those that are going to go out to meet him at that hour when the trump sounds, that mark, that line of demarcation that's going to prove whether I'm ready or not. And it's going to depend on the oil and its current effect in my life. If you've ever wondered, Lord, where do you draw the line? At what point do we decide if we are going to make it or not make it? Because we know that there's an area there that it quits being gray and it starts to be very white or very black. There's a line, a definite line, where we're either lost or we're saved. And I want to know the line, and I don't want to just hope that I'm doing enough to get by. I don't want to look at my life and examine it one day and say, well, it's iffy. It's 50-50. I don't want to be 50-50. I've got to be 100% sold on this thing. I can't reserve something for me and just say, well, if long as I'm doing enough to make it and still enjoy the world, then that's going to be all right. There's no scripture so succinct as this setting right here that tells us it's going to be determined by how much of God that you have directing and guiding your life. And if you're lost, it's not because God made you lost. It's because you just did not have the oil that he had promised to you, and you ran low or perhaps never received it in the first place. I want to show you another thing they had similar. Not only was their goal similar, but they all had a lamp, and they all had oil in their lamps. Well, I've got the Holy Ghost. Good. So do I. They all had a lamp, and they all had oil in the lamp. It's like saying, I have the Holy Spirit in me and you have it in you. That's good. But there was a difference. The 5 wise had another vessel. In other words, they had reserves. And the foolish ones didn't have reserves. That's all. That's the only difference right there. They all received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and they had all taken on the name of the bridegroom. We've got a baptistry back there, and it doesn't matter whether you're baptized in a baptistry or in a creek or a pond or a pool or a bathtub. What's important is that you take on the name of the bridegroom. Amen. And when you go under that water, the name that is pronounced has to be the name of the bridegroom. Amen. We can't make up a name and say, I just want it to be pretty or effective in my world. But we've got to say, Lord, give me your name, not somebody else's name. We've got to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of our sins. The interesting thing about there being 10 is that you'll never read of one man in the Bible marrying 10 women. Now, Solomon married way more than 10, and he's not our subject today. It's not about two nationalities even, but it's about several peoples. It means there's multitudes. It's just saying there's not just a few, but there's more. Half of those had the experience of salvation, but didn't have a lifestyle to carry it to the end. The other half had the same experience, but they lived fuller lives for Christ. They allowed the oil to increase in their life. It wasn't one of those things. I know I say it a lot, but there's places you can go, Disney and Universal and all of that. And if you're going to leave before time, they'll stamp your hand. And it won't wash off for a day or two. You don't see it. It's kind of almost invisible. But you go back through, and that ultraviolet light shows, yep, your hand stamped. You're good. And that's not this. We don't get our hand stamped and try not to wash that hand when you eat lunch and so we can make it. It's not a hand stamp, but this is a day-by-day experience, amen, that we have to maintain the supply of the Spirit of God in our souls. There's another vessel with it that we've got to have, and that's going to determine where I am at the end when the Lord says, well done. And I want to hear Him say, well done. I don't want to hear Him say, I don't know you. You don't have enough evidence that we've even spent much time together. Help us, God, that we can maintain this lifestyle. The one thing that they didn't have in common, the lamp was the proof of the experience, and the supply of oil was proof of a relationship. But the foolish bridesmaids just didn't have the extra oil. John 1 and 4 says, in Him was life, and that life was the light of men. He had the life in Him, and He gives us that life. He has come that we may have life and have it more abundantly. See, they all had the lamp and some oil for the light, but the wise bridesmaids had enough to last until the midnight hour. That means their eyes were on the time clock. They were looking, saying, I'm looking for His arrival. I'm looking for that time when He's going to come, and I'm trying to take inventory of my soul and not just trying to fall in love with the world that's around me. They had another vessel. They had extra is what it simply means. And when you pour oil into a lamp, that was the old days. I don't want to show a hands of those of you that remember those days. There's less and less, I know that. But years ago, coal oil lamps, you know, my parents had them. They talked about them. When I was born, no such thing. It was a novelty. And you got to use a coal oil lamp on campouts. It was a novelty. And, you know, it wasn't the way to live all the time. But those that lived off of those, you didn't just go down to the store where the oil was sold and take your lamp and say, I need you to fill my lamp. Think about this. The store would fill your lamp, the little lamp, however big it might be, fill my lamp. And you could go home with that lamp full and say, all right, we've got light for another 6.5 hours. We've got a lamp that's full of oil. You didn't go to the store and just get your lamp full. But you had a vessel you took down there. It might have had 2 gallons, 2, 3 gallons, 5 gallons, and you got that thing full because you wanted to take that home and pour it in there every time that you needed it. And that's what it's saying is you got to have another vessel with you. You've got to have a reserve of an experience. Here it is, outside of this place right here. When I get out of here, out of this lamp right here, when I get out of this dimension of just the church, I've got to go back to my life, and there's got to be oil in everything that than I do. I've got to have a prayer life. I've got to worship God every day of my life. I got to go to bed thinking about Him. I wake up thinking about Him. My life is more than just right here. And when I get out of right here, I better be doing something that brings on the oil. Amen. Otherwise, if this is all I'm doing, it's going to run out. And I'm going to be the foolish one. Foolish why? I'll give you my reason why. Because the best stuff there is living for God, it happens also on the outside of the church. Amen. It's the prayers that He answers. It's the raise you get on your job. It's the peace that passes all understanding. It's the family situation that He comes into and breathes healing upon you. It's outside of here that I got to live like I do on the inside of here, or I'm going to lose my oil. Amen. I don't live a double life. This is me outside here. I might not wear the same suit, or I might. Right. Amen. But my relationship with the Lord, I don't clock out at that door back there. And neither do most of you. I'm sure you don't. You love Him here, you love Him there. We don't undress when we get home and take off our church clothes and leave our church nature hanging in the closet. But we got to have a relationship outside of this lamp right here. We got to have another vessel. Their experience was beyond show. It was real. See, it's easy to just show. It's easy to show. I was in a large church one time, and in this large church, the bass player, nothing against bass players, Brother Patrick Kane, the bass player was cool. He was a member of a prominent family, and he was playing the bass. He also was dating the pastor's daughter. And he was just up there playing the bass, being cool. The Spirit of the Lord began to move. He kind of did it. And the pastor punched his wife and said, look at him, look. Because he wanted to see something besides just playing the bass with that stoic look on his face. And being the skeptic that I was about young people, that I was also of that group, I thought to myself, he's doing it for the pastor. Was I right or wrong? That doesn't matter today. It was just me being my little judgmental self. I'm glad I got rid of that attitude, aren't you? We do make judgment calls. And I made one there. I thought, yeah, I know what you're doing, buddy. You're doing a little being moved by the Spirit thing. But it ain't real. I don't know if it was or not. It doesn't matter. But in my mind, it was one of those points where I thought, is it or is it not? This story clearly shows that we can have much or we can have little of God's Spirit. See, it's easier for us to think of oil in a vessel than God's Spirit dwelling in a soul. That's why Jesus used parables. He said, the kingdom of heaven is like this. And we go, wow, I can understand that. I can grasp a hold of something like that. See, the soul and the spirit get divorced, and your spirit gets engaged to the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God. Then it begins to control the passions and desires of your flesh. But the soul, your flesh nature, hasn't been married yet. See, your soul is still with you. That's this nature right here that you and I both have. And so if I don't subdue my flesh nature, it's going to rise above the spirit. And come Wednesday, it's going to say, oh, you know, I think there's other things we could do there rather than go to church. All right. And come Saturday, it starts plotting in a way to try to get out of Sunday. Yeah. That's your flesh nature. When the oil begins to run low, it fills up on something because it's a vacuum. Whenever you release the presence of the Lord, it brings in the presence of your mind. And your earthly mind is never going to make the right choices. You spend your time skipping a few prayer meetings. Put the Word of God away from you. I don't mean just being here where the lamp's at, but I mean just get outside and let your flesh have its way. Before long, you're going to get tripped up in a way you never thought possible because you don't have the oil in that other vessel outside the house of God. Lord, help us today to be aware. We got to have a relationship outside this house. We got to have a prayer life outside of Tuesday night, outside of this house. I've got to go before the throne of God daily. I've got to subject myself to him on a daily basis and crucify this flesh. If we don't crucify our flesh, it's living and being very vibrant in our life, and it'll start to rise up. Amen. Kind of like a woman who gets engaged. She's promised to another, but really she's still unattached. Engagement means this is what we're planning on doing. A woman that's engaged, I'm sure some of you ladies have had this happen when you were engaged, I'm saying. Old boyfriends might have still came around. How are you doing? Well, still now they just go on Facebook and say, hey, remember the class of 87? Whatever, you know. I don't want to dig there, really. Let's get out of there. We were just having a conversation this morning. My goodness, that preacher hears everything. Yeah, I know. There's a saying in the engagement world. Somebody gets engaged. We got engaged. Where's the ring? You know, it's a saying. It's just people want to, where's, if there's no ring, then it's not engagement. In other words, they're saying the man needs to cough up some proof that he's got some plans there. In other words, guys, what it's saying, there's an expense before the big expense. Thank goodness dads don't have to buy that. You buy an engagement ring for your wife you're going to marry. You know, that's all you got to do for now. Then you just got to pay for a wedding. That's just, it hits you again and again, and it should be very joyous. Where did we get to this point where we just started going downhill? All right, listen, we have oil. In the oil we have, what does oil do? It's not a lubricant in that lamp. The oil is there because it burns. The oil is there because it is the fuel that gives us our light. In him was life, and that life was the light. That life in him was life. That life is the oil. That life is the Spirit of God. That is the light of men. That illuminates. That shows us the path. That shows us the way. We need that today. We have to have that. And don't base your needs. Please, just a little advertisement here. Don't base your needs on the life your neighbor lives. Don't look at their life and think, you know, they really sail along so easy and they don't do half of what I do for God. No, you don't understand or know what goes on in the secrets of a prayer closet or what the burden is that they're bearing, but live your life and live it to its fullest with God. Get into your prayer closet time after time and don't give up until you've prayed through every day. I'm not just saying this stuff because I'm the pastor and I'm supposed to. I've been there, I live it, and I don't want to live any other way than this right here. Amen. Prayer is the first thing I do every morning. I don't ever want that to be different. I love coffee, and I need to wake up, but I don't make coffee till I'm done praying. Why? Because I start drinking coffee, and I might get a little jittery, and my mind starts wandering. I want to give God my fullness. Yeah. Amen. I want to give him my fullness. Now, if you need coffee to pray, fine. That's your job. Each man lets you work out his own salvation. But I found what works for me, and I have to give God the first hour. I can't give that first hour to anything else. That's God. Now, you work out what works for you, but you better get something that works. I just happen to know me. And if I say, well, come about 10 or 11, I'm going to go into my prayer closet. I'm going to pray, get a hold of God tonight. Life's too unpredictable. Pastoring a church is too unpredictable. We don't know what we're going to be doing tonight. So, Lord, help us today that we can get something that works. See, I'm preaching, a little bit teaching. Help us, Lord. It's foolish, really, and there's no reason for us to run out of oil. Galatians 5:16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust or the desire of the flesh. Right. Just walk in the Spirit. Hey, if we get that right there, we can just go home now because that's it. But by the foolishness of preaching, we got to preach. Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Oh my, I need to spend a lot of time on that right there, because somehow there's this thing about humans. It's us. We feel that at some point we're all a little bit geniuses. I mean, really, we start examining ourselves and we come up with the answers that we have for our own questions, and we go, you know, I'm just pretty smart. I'm just kind of a genius, and I think I'm going to lean on my own understanding. There's a guy that posts sayings on Facebook, and I know him very well. That's all I'll say. But, and I have known him for years. And he'll say these things, and then he'll put his initials. Now, trust me, none of you know this young man except maybe my wife. And I don't know that she's ever seen him. But he'll put his initials, and it's like, ta-da. And I look at it, and I go, wow, that's not profound at all. Grass is green until it's not. Ta-da. Hold on just a minute. I need to write that down, actually. He might be talking about himself. No, we all have the ability to anoint ourselves.
Yes, yes.
We all have the ability to just anoint ourselves.
Yeah.
You know what, self? Ooh. You're spiritual. You're wise. You're pretty awesome. That's just, we do that to ourselves. We can anoint ourselves. But Proverbs says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own anointing. In all your ways acknowledge Him.
Yeah.
The stage at the Olympics, it has a middle and it has two sides. And they don't make much over the silver and bronze. It's the gold in the middle.
Yeah.
And that's right there where we need to put God right there. Not me. You need to put Him and elevate Him in that place right there. We don't need to give ourselves a ribbon and anoint and say we're a hero, because then we will begin to talk ourselves out of what we really, truly need to be doing today. We must say, Lord, You are my help, my Savior, my God.
Yeah.
And I'm the one that's lost. I'm the one that needs to come to You. I don't need to order You in my life, but I need to get on my knees and bow before You and be broken before You till You can change me, God. Change me, Lord. Change me, Lord. If we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill our fleshly desires and drift into trouble. Trust me. Trust God. In darkness, you need to trust Him. In trouble, trust Him. In confusion, in loneliness, in silence, and pain, you got to trust Jesus to be there. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. That is walking in the Spirit. In everything you do, you must say, Lord, are You pleased? Is this all right with You, God? See, don't be your own pastor. You don't want that job. Don't say, well, I've thought about this, and I've examined my motives, and I think I'm pretty good. Let's not anoint ourselves, but let's say, God, leave that up to You. Here's the thing. If we are truly living full of the Holy Spirit, we're going to be right with God. Because the only way to stay that way is to have a systematic prayer life, a daily prayer life. When you stop praying, all kind of diseases are going to crop up. Your flesh will begin to grow on its own, and you'll justify it and say, well, you know, I'm unique in that. This happened to me, and I can handle this, and I got this. Man, at our old church where I grew up, was talking about his past life. He goes, you know, he said, I drank a lot. He said, and he said, the thing about when you drink, he said, there's a point of inebriation, drunkenness, he said, where you truly think you got it. You feel superior. It makes you feel you've got everything under control. He said, and I felt like, and he said, that's why drunk people will say, actually, I'm a better driver when I'm a little bit drunk. Because I pay more attention. He said, you really do think that you've got it going on. He goes, and I would drive home, and in order to get home, I would close one eye, and I would line up the yellow stripe with the left headlight of the car, the bump, the front hood, and I would just drive home with one eye and think, yeah, I got this. Imagine. He said, I had it all figured out. There's some Christians just like that. Got one eye closed. And they're aiming at just a line, saying, if I can just keep my eye on that line, I think I'm okay. But I'll tell you, when you're looking at the line, you're too far there anyway. You've gone way too far. But it's like the cows and the horses with their necks through the fence bleeding because they want that blade of grass out there by the highway, and there's 25,000 acres behind them, but they've got their neck through the barbed wire fence. Lord, help us today to understand that there's joy in the kingdom of God. Amen. There's power in the Holy Ghost. And you've got a life for us if we would just live that life for you. Oh, what a life there is that God will give us today. Let me move along. You all are making me pause too many times and waste time here. I'm sorry. So, but the wise, they gave good instructions to the foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. And that's it right there. The foolish were living on the edge. They were barely surviving on their feeble attempts to be saved from one thing to another. The problem with that is you're so susceptible to attacks. Not just from the enemy, from attacks from within yourself. Because your heart and your mind is unpredictable. God help us to not try to survive off meager amounts of your presence that we can only get at a service here and there. But I got to enhance it with a prayer life. I got to enhance that with my word of God in my life on a daily basis. The wise advice rings true today. They said to them, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. We got to buy for ourselves. They didn't have to tell them where the sellers were. The foolish knew very well where to buy. They just didn't want to turn loose of the currency. Because you got to give up a little of yourself to get a little bit more of God. It's called repentance. We've got to turn our life around. As Peter said on that day of Pentecost, when the crowd said, what must we do? He said, you must repent. That word means just turn around. It means to say, Father, forgive me for my life of sin. I'm sorry for what I've done. Repent. What happens? Well, I'll tell you, when I repented at a very young age, I repented and I asked God to forgive me, and I felt sorrow. It surprised me at that age that I would feel actually sorrow, and I was sorry for the sin that I was born in, actually. But that's how God made us to do. He made the path easy, even for children. And I began to cry out to God, and I said, Lord, I love you. I love you, Jesus. I love you. And I said, Lord, please fill me with the Holy Ghost. And the next thing I knew, I was speaking in an unknown tongue. But the feeling of my little 8-year-old self, a cleansed feeling. I just couldn't describe it now or then. The next night I was baptized in that wonderful name of Jesus for the remission of my 8 years of sinful living. No, it was because we're all born in sin. We're born that way. Doesn't matter when we're baptized, we got to be baptized in the name. Everywhere in the history of the church, which is called the Acts of the Apostles, the Acts of the Church, everywhere they were baptized in the name of Jesus. There's power in the name. And they didn't have to tell them, you know, where the sellers were. Now we know where the oil is. We must identify where and how that precious oil can be purchased. And I want to tell you, God is the seller. He's the one that sells the oil. Because it's his presence. Jeremiah 31 and 12. They will come and shout for joy on the heights of Zion. They will rejoice in the bounty of the Lord, the grain, the new wine, the olive oil. The young flocks and herds, they will be like well-watered garden, and they will sorrow no more. Then the young women will dance and be glad, young men and old as well. I will turn their mourning into gladness. I will give them comfort and joy instead of sorrow. I will satisfy the priests with abundance, and my people will be filled with my bounty, declares the Lord. The wheat that he mentions, the wine and the oil. The wheat is the bread of life, that is the word. The wine is the saving blood of Christ that he said is drink indeed. The oil is that same golden oil that flowed through those pipes into the golden candlesticks in that holy place, signifying the Spirit of God, the holy presence of God flowing into our own souls when we're filled with His Spirit. See, the oil has to make a difference in your life. Some people receive the Holy Ghost and they think, well, that's it. That's it. I'm good. But you must go back and have a relationship with the seller. That's really where some people leave out. There are those that come in and seek for maybe many days, months. I've known of people to seek for years because they just could not ever believe that God could forgive them. And they would finally repent truly and realize that this is not your job, it's God to fill you. And they would be filled with the Holy Ghost. But unfortunately, I've seen some of those same ones feel that, well, the battle's over, I was filled. That's like a baby being born and the doctor says, well, got that out of the way, it's all done. And the parents say, let's go home. Whoa, wait a minute. You've got to take care of the baby. You've got to really take care of babies. And when we're filled, that's when we truly got to listen to instructions. We've got to say, Lord, what do I need to do to keep this going? I want to continue to be fed. I want to continue to breathe this air. I want to continue to receive your nourishment. In a natural sense, our old nature must constantly be under the influence of the Spirit in order to stay holy and right. We are being pulled down just by our nature. We're being pulled every day, and we must keep that supply of His Spirit at full capacity through prayer and worship. Hallelujah. Paul said, don't be drunk with wine wherein is excess. Don't let the excesses of life intoxicate you. But he said, be filled with the Spirit. And he's talking to the church now who had the Holy Ghost. He said, but with psalms, singing psalms and prayers and special songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. In other words, when you worship, as we did today, you can feel it. As we worship, there's a flooding, there's a flowing of the presence, and we leave this place in better shape than what we came in. Paul said, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. If, Lord, I'm maintaining the relationship with the oil. If your presence and your spirit is affecting me. The outward man will diminish when paying the full price for oil. Amen. The outward man is less when I'm paying for that oil with my prayer and with my dedication to God. The outward man is less, but the inward man is more. What if the outward man were to rise up and grow? Then he begins to use an earthly mind to reason things out. He begins to think in earthly terms. And he gets too smart for a relationship with the all-wise and all-knowing God. And he can't hear things like that anymore because he thinks he's got it all worked out. If you're here today and you do not have the gift of the Holy Spirit, I want to tell you it is so easy to receive it. You don't have to swim an ocean, cross a river. All you've got to do is just raise your hands and say, Father in heaven, forgive me of my life of sin. I may be a great person, not a good person. I could be a great person, but I still have to say, Lord, forgive me, Lord. Forgive me for what I've done. And then you begin to worship that God and say, I love you, God, for your forgiving. I thank you for forgiving me. And as you raise your hands, you will feel that presence of God begin to move on you. See, it's no more complicated than that right there. Oh, and the feeling. I love testimonies because it reminds me of the time when the Lord first filled me with the Holy Ghost. As you begin to pray, people have said, it's like my mouth was taken over by something else, or I began to get numb and just something happened. For me, I know I tell the story a lot, but it's a glorious thing when God touches you. I was there just praying, and I didn't know what I was doing. 8 years old, and I heard someone speaking in tongues. I'd heard it my whole life. I'd heard people at the altar do that. And I thought, oh, my friend Daryl has beat me, and he's received the Holy Ghost before me. And so I cheated a little bit, and I opened my eyes. And the microphone was right in front of my mouth. The man in our church had got that old-fashioned microphone with the silver head and had stuck it there, and they were all just a-grinning. And I thought I was hearing my buddy, and I was hearing me. See, that was novel then, But in years to come, when the devil said, you know, you didn't do anything, you didn't get anything. I said, no, devil, you're lying. I heard me over the loudspeakers go to somebody else because I believe it. Acts 10:44 says, while Peter spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them that heard the word. And they of the circumcision, which believed, were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which has received the Holy Ghost as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. When you purchase fuel for your car, you swipe a card and feel no pain then. But you know there's a void in your account. I reposted a video the other day on Facebook. And I labeled it the other day again. I didn't realize I'd already labeled it before 5 years ago. Or 7 years ago. I don't remember. And I labeled it again, a scary movie I made. And then I'd already labeled it the exact same thing then. Because it was scary. It was when gas was $3.79 a gallon. And I videoed the gas pump going up to like $68.69 for my little car. And it was just, I remember those days. So yeah, we felt a pinch every time you'd put fuel in the car. It cost you something. Even the swipe, that might be, you know, put the card in and out, punch in your pin, and it doesn't hurt, but it's hurting because it came from somewhere. Somebody has to pay for it. Christ, our example, gave us the key to receiving the oil. He says, not my will, but thine be done. And I must say, Lord, not me, but you. Let your will be done. I must replace my will with his will. And when I leave here today, I will have more of God and less of me. Anything else and less means I'm going to leave the way I came, and that's not what I want. Let us stand. The word must replace my reasoning, church. The wine and the blood must be applied to cover my sins. The oil will then flow as his spirit resides in my cleansed heart, in his wonderful name. God, I want to ask you right now, Lord, there are people here whose hearts you have touched. Lord, there are those here that have a longing in their soul for you. Lord, there are those today that need you to wipe away the tears, and they need to know there's something real about this. And Father, I'm asking in your great name that you would touch, Lord, that longing one, that one that seems to be at the end and doesn't know where to turn. I'm praying today, Father, that you would reach them. And Lord, as we pray at the close, I know, God, that you've promised this to whosoever will. Lord, help us today to focus on this one thing. Oh, Lord, that you will not leave us comfortless. Lord, you will not leave us alone, but you will come to us. And this is the comforter. And I pray today, Father, that you would press this upon our minds. The comforter is here today. The Holy Spirit is here today. It's yours if you ask for it. When was the last time, church, that you spoke in tongues freely as God moved upon you? When was the last time you had those hands raised to give him praise? I always remember as a child when I would get refilled, you know, and we'd go through a great service, a good revival time, and oh, I'd just be flying high. But just a few days later, I'd come into church and I wouldn't want to raise my hands. I felt like I'm not right with God. It was really simple, I know. It was a simple thing. But I'd repent and the Lord would touch me and my hands would be back up again. You could always tell by my hands. Why? Because I was a child. I was innocent. I didn't know how to fake it yet. Lord, help us to be like children. To be honest, Lord. Lord, to be able to raise our hands because our soul has been given up to you. And we're turned it over to you, Lord. Let us be that man in Jesus' name. Church, we've had a wonderful time here at this front today. But I'm asking you one more time. And while you come, I would like to ask those who you want another touch, if you could just make your way down here, I'm promising you that our God would touch you. That our God would touch you and He can fill you with this wonderful experience. Come on down, church. See, somebody needs you to break way down here. They need you to come and make a way first so they can come into a comfortable environment, because there's the Spirit of God that's waiting right here. The presence of the Lord is waiting for a heart to say, "Yes, Lord. Fill me, God, with your presence and your power. Fill me now in Jesus' name. Oh, holy God, fill us now. Mighty God, fill us now. Jesus, in your name. Jesus, in your name." And church, you know, by the content of this sermon, this was not just being preached to those who were lost, but I'm preaching to those who may not be as saved as you feel like you are, or who that you think you are. Where are you standing in relation to the oil? How is that other vessel doing, the vessel that's outside the church? How's it doing? How faithful are you to the kingdom of God? And how faithful are you to a prayer life? Is the Word of God in your heart just on Wednesdays? Or do you have a schedule where you got to open it and eat the Word daily, as the Bible tells us to? Do you make excuses about why you don't pray? Or do you find a place to get alone with God and pray? Because see, that's right there. That's the oil supply. It's not about what we show people, but it's about who we really are. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus right now that you'd sweep over this church, God. There are souls. I wouldn't say it if I didn't believe it, but there are souls hanging in a balance right now that God is saying, you better step up. You better get to that place where you need to let me do something in your life before it's too late. You better make a change in your heart right now. You better make a definite change in your life right now before God can't touch you anymore and you can't feel Him anymore. Oh, God, before it's too late, get a hold of somebody's heart today. Lord, get a hold of somebody's heart today, God. Jesus' name, Jesus' name, Jesus' name. Oh, somebody needs to cry out to God. You need to cry out for His mercy today. Jesus, in your name, Lord, touch us today by your anointing. Touch us with your Spirit, God. Oh, Father, in your name, Jesus.